My guests are Microsoft Senior Director for Enterprise Mobility, Andrew Conway, and from the Office 365 security team, Aleem Rayani. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
All right, we've got a lot to get to. Aleem, we'll start with you. Tell us a bit about what is changing for companies today, maybe how that impacts security and how that's different from the past.
Sure. I guess the question really is, what hasn't changed?
Oh, okay.
Because really, as you look at the past 5 or 10 years, really everything's changed. Think about, the connected world. So, organizations are increasingly connecting more directly to their customers. You think about B2C e-commerce or even supply chain, right? And, there's all those jumps in the supply chain. If you want that real-time inventory, you have to have a connection all the way through multiple organizations. Mm-hmm. I think in general, when you think about connection, the pace of innovation, the pace of change there is pretty extreme. More and more we see organizations that are looking to SaaS applications for mission-critical, things in their organization.
Mm-hmm.
Devices have changed pretty dramatically.
Sure.
Think about, personal devices. Everybody knows about, the whole BYOD issue where you've got unmanaged devices, if you will, that are coming in. Your company's data is sitting on those devices.
Right.
Beyond that, when you think about mobile and tablets, that's one thing. But in Internet of Things, explosion, right? Total explosion there. And so, I've got, my band on, that's got data on it. Your alarm system at home, you might be able to control it remotely. So all of those things, are really increasing the surface area. And even one recent breach, that I read about, they got in through the HVAC system.
Right? Wow.
And so things have changed, and attackers are really sophisticated now. They're looking for, in the past, they were maybe, an individual. Now they're more organized crime, sometimes backed by nations. So really all of these things have changed, and we have more of a physics problem. We have a bigger physics problem than we had in the past.
Sure. So Andrew, what is Microsoft's approach to security?
Yeah, building on Aleem's points, I think what's different about Microsoft's approach is that we have a unique perspective in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We have consumer services that we're running at scale that we've been running for many years, things like Outlook.com for email or mm-hmm. Xbox Live. And then we're combining that also now with a rich array of different commercial services, all running in the cloud, in data centers, public cloud data centers. And so bringing all of this together, we have unique insights that we can get into security, into attacks, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we think about the unique approach that Microsoft's taking, it really focuses on the sort of traditional view of protect, detect, and respond. But it goes beyond that and emphasizes the unique capabilities that we have. And so it starts with the platform. Microsoft has a rich heritage of building platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really about building a resilient platform and building security capabilities into the platform to help keep that baseline more secure. But we're now going beyond that with these cloud assets and with these data and threat intelligent assets to build out what we call the intelligent security graph. And this graph is really about taking huge data sets in the cloud, also data that we get from customers, and combining that with threat intelligence to really figure out new ways of figuring out where breaches are coming from and then reflecting that back to customers. So that's the second part of it.
Right.
The third and final part is that we recognize that customers' environments are broad, they're heterogeneous, and so we have to focus on working with partners. This is not something that we can go alone. And so I think later we'll come on to just a quick overview of some of the partners that we're working broadly with to help customers be more secure.
Yeah, let's go a little bit further there and take a deeper look at Microsoft Security Platform, and maybe you can give us some technology examples, maybe tools that the viewers can use to protect themselves against the ever-growing threats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, as Andrew mentioned, we think about building security in, so it's built in as we engineer it. And really, that's when you take a step back, that's really what customers need and expect from us
mm-hmm.
as being one of the largest providers of cloud services in the world, and even more broadly of, having applications deployed even on-premises. And so if you take email, for example, in Office 365, right? Certainly we do all the basic antivirus, anti-spam, but phishing's a big problem nowadays. So we've looked at ways to invest to prevent phishing attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, users, are interacting with data and links all the time. And so, when a user gets a link, we talked about, attackers are getting more sophisticated. When that comes through your traditional antivirus, anti-spam engine, it may not be detected. It might be good. But what they're doing is they'll say, hey, in a couple of days, we'll actually turn that to a bad link. So with advanced threat protection, we're looking at scanning that link in real time when the user clicks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even an attachment in email, right? That's another place where an attack could come in. We look at, hey, what's the behavior of that attachment? Is it asking for elevated privileges on the machine? Is it an executable? You know, what are the things that are associated with that attachment that could cause increased risk? And so we're building that into email, for example. If you think about, you know, some of our other cloud services, like Windows, you know, Windows is now kind of this, you know, cloud service that with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection.
Right.
We're looking at when users log in, when machines are connected to the network, what is normal behavior and what's abnormal behavior? So we're analyzing that behavior. We'll alert IT and say, hey, you know what? This doesn't look like something that's normal. You may want to take an action to remediate that. And then even if you look at some of our on-premises solutions, you know, with Windows Server 2016, we introduced this notion of just-in-time access, just-enough access. Mm-hmm. And that's really about eliminating what's called the super admin, the person who has kind of standing access to everything. You know, as a former IT person, you know, I was one of those guys. I wasn't the primary admin. I wasn't even the secondary. I was an IT person. But I could change passwords. I could change the user's name. And so how do we limit that surface area, you know, for those folks who are still on premises and help them to be more secure?
Okay.
Now, obviously, we've talked about, you know, many threats, and we've talked about various technologies, but maybe what are some of them that are available to quickly detect a threat?
You know, it's a great point. If you think about the steps that customers go through, what we're seeing is that customers are investing more now in detection technologies.
Right.
Many of them have gone to an assumed breach posture where they're assuming that no matter how well they do the protection work, someone's still gonna get in. And what we see is that on average, attackers are on a customer's network now for well over 200 days.
Yeah.
So this ability to actually get in early and detect someone is critical. And so specifically, we've been working on technologies in the cloud. I could give you an example around Azure and Azure Active Directory.
Sure.
And so there, for instance, we have somewhere over now 8 million unique directories from our customers and well over 500 million users. And so what we can do is we can look at all of the authentication activity that's coming in from different tenants against the directory. We can combine that with data from some of our other assets at Microsoft, like the Digital Crimes Unit. And then we can reflect back to customers things like, you know, examples of their credentials, their employees' credentials that are being brute forced. So someone's trying to, you know, putting their password multiple times. Mm-hmm. Or one of their employees appears to be logging in from, say, Australia, and then 2 minutes later they're trying to log in from London.
Sure.
So clearly some impossible travel has been involved, and that's likely a breach also. We can also combine it, like I said, with data from the Digital Crimes Unit. So we can show attempts to access via credentials from known bad IP addresses, or we can showcase when your employees' credentials may have been up for sale in so-called paste bins in the darker parts of the web.
Okay.
So that's all cloud-based, but one of the things that our customers have also asked us for is, can you bring those technologies down on premises? And that's really motivated some of our recent acquisitions. And so in the last year, we purchased a company in Israel, which has now become Microsoft Advanced Threat Analytics. And what Advanced Threat Analytics lets you do is do similar types of machine learning against your on-premises data set. And so you can set it up, point it at your existing on-premises Active Directory, and over a period of time, it will learn what is normal behavior and what is abnormal behavior. And then it will display that back to you on what looks like a sort of Facebook-like or social media-like feed of bad things that are happening in your environment.
Wow.
And you can drill in and learn more. So that's just a couple of examples where we're taking authentication activity either against cloud or on-premises Active Directory. And now we're going beyond that by actually giving customers insight into what's happening in their SaaS applications. You know, you asked in the poll earlier how much SaaS are customers using, and one of the things that we're finding is that with new services like our cloud app security, we're able to give customers a view into all of the unauthorized SaaS applications that might be being used by their employees, so they get insight into detecting you know, data flows in and out of their organization that they may want to clamp down on.
And let's talk more about that. What tools Microsoft is providing to respond to these threats?
Yep.
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, going back to some of the earlier points, if we start with this position of assumed breach, mm-hmm. so it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but if you start from that assumption, then you're going to be more prepared. And so when I think about tools, I think more broadly about preparation. And that's about building a plan, right? Building a plan, what do I do if this happens? What we've seen with a lot of these recent breaches is it not only involves the organization's data, but their customers' data.
Right.
And so one of the things they have to do is say, how am I going to communicate with my customers about what's happened to their data? you know, what are all the things I need to do from a legal perspective? What do I need to do to make customers whole? You know, all the things that could happen.
We've been talking about the trust issue.
That's
how are they not going to head for the hills and say, forget it, I'm
out? Right, yeah. I mean, because it really comes down, you know, one organization that had a breach, they saw, I think it was a Q4, 40% drop in Q4 revenue. So it really impacts their business. And so one of the things I say is build a plan and have the right skill set in place to recover and respond. A lot of people don't know. If you have Microsoft Premier Support, you actually have access to this world-class response and recovery team. And I say, don't just engage them when it's too late. Engage them beforehand and have them help you build that plan out. After you've had a breach, think about what you need to do to adjust your security posture. You know, things have changed. The world is very dynamic nowadays when it comes to endpoints and security. Mm-hmm. And so really think about, what do I need to do to now update my security posture? It's always a good thing to be revisiting that, looking at the vectors.
Right. Let's talk about an extension of that, maybe about how Microsoft is partnering to strengthen user security, right? We said from Brad Smith, you know, if people don't trust something, they don't trust it, don't want to use it. So how do you strengthen the, with partnerships and hopefully further build trust and give a real and artificial sense of security?
Yeah, partners are a key part of the story, clearly. If you think about some of the platform assets that we have in the cloud with services like Office 365, the first thing is that we want to expose APIs against that platform, or against, in this case, Office 365, so that partners can come in and show management data and show what's happening inside that SaaS application and help customers get visibility and therefore be more secure. But there are other things that we're doing as well which relate to security challenges in a mobile-first and cloud-first world. Mm-hmm. If you think about the perimeter coming down and the network being less of a sort of control point, then identity becomes very much a control point, so your end user's identity. And so, for instance, we're working with partners to give single sign-on to SaaS applications against their Azure Active Directory. So in that case, we've got some 2,500 different SaaS applications that we work with. Mm-hmm. If you think of the mobile device itself and data flowing onto your mobile device, and maybe you're operating on that data inside a mobile app, we have partnerships with companies like Adobe, Box, Citrix, and those companies have adopted our Intune application SDK to protect data inside their mobile apps on the device. If you go more to the data center and infrastructure side with capabilities like Azure Security Center, where we're giving customers a complete view of what's happening in their data center and in their Azure subscription, then we're partnering also with companies like F5, Barracuda, Trend Micro, who are providing appliances that show up inside virtual machines, inside Azure, and they're pre-built and available inside of Azure Security Center.
Wow. Let's go back to the SaaS topic and
yes.
pay off the results to our poll question. Our audience has weighed in.
Yep.
You remember the question, ladies and gentlemen, how many different SaaS applications are you using? A, none, B, 1 to 5, C, 6 to 10, or more than 11? Survey says B, 50% say 1 to 5. Quick reaction from you.
Yeah, it's clear that SaaS is getting going and that people are moving beyond maybe that first one or two. Based on the results, maybe not much more beyond that one or two. But I think this is honestly a good flag for us, because it sort of highlights the importance of figuring out whether there's unauthorized SaaS that's happening. When we talk to customers, they might say, well, I've only got one or two SaaS applications. But typically then what happens is they might run a discovery product like our Cloud App Security and see that they have many tens, if not hundreds, of SaaS applications that their employees are using that they have no visibility to. And so I think it's sort of insightful from the poll that people think they have a small number, where in reality, if they applied a discovery product, they'd probably see that a lot more SaaS usage was happening maybe directly from employees without visibility into what's going on.
Now, in our final seconds here, we're just about out of time. Top takeaways for you, from you to our massive online audience. What would you want them to walk away from this virtual summit knowing and thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I kind of like to boil it down to three things. So, people, process, and product. So people, make sure you have the right folks in place, whether you're leveraging something like Microsoft Premier Support in-house or some third party. Make sure you have those folks to respond to an incident and hopefully plan for an incident as well. Process, make sure you've got that plan in place, assume breach, and assume the worst and try to recover from that in practice. Okay. Kind of like the earthquake drill, like you practice it, then you will be prepared when it actually happens.
Right.
And then the third piece is look for, when you actually shop for your software, your IT, look for organizations that think about security, that prioritize security, that think about it as a first-class citizen, because you're going to depend on those applications with your corporate data and your important business information. So they should be thinking about security, you know, out of the get-go.
Great stuff. Powerful information, guys. Thank you so much
for
being here, both of you.